All right. So I'm sitting in studio here with Kelly Parr, local Manhattanite and author. I understand you've spoken before with one of my predecessors, Kathy Dawes, about your first book, My Little Valentine, sort of the story of your mother and her grandmother. But I guess it would be best to hear it more from your voice. First of all, thanks for coming in.
Sure. Thank you, Nick.
And tell me a little bit about the story. We were talking a little before we started recording, and it sounds pretty riveting.
Well, it's a very interesting story for me. It was a lot of family history, and my mother was adopted from Kansas City, and when her whole life she was wanting to find out more information about her biological mother, and she never really had any luck in searching and finding her. And at Christmas one year in 1990, she gave my sisters and me copies of her birth certificate, and her adoption paper. She didn't have her original birth certificate. And it was kind of through divine intervention or good luck. I tell in the book how I went about finding my biological grandmother. And she was 83, and my mother was 66 at the time when we actually met. And they had 14 years to get to know one another. And after my mother had passed away, I found all of these letters that my grandmother had written to her. So there were 14 years of letters and a lot of information in there that I had no idea, things that I learned about their relationship and about my grandmother and the circumstances that she was had that got her to the facility where my mother was born. And she was born at a place called the Willows Maternity Sanitarium. So I shared a little bit with this with Kathy when I was here the last time with my first book, which is called My Little Valentine, because my mother was born on Valentine's Day, 1925.
And were these letters that you found sort of the beginning of how you began writing this book?
Yeah, exactly, because I really didn't have any intentions of writing a book. But after I started reading the letters, I realized there was so much in there that I didn't know and the rest of my family didn't know, so I started sharing with other people. And I actually work for a publishing company. We write educational science materials. And so I knew a lot of people that worked in the publishing industry, and I was telling them stories about what I had found, and they said, you need to write this down for your family and friends, if nothing else. And so that's sort of how it turned into writing it into a book.
Right. And now you have a new book out called Mansion on the Hill. I have it right here in front of me. And
right.
This is sort of more about the background of the facility that your grandmother ended up or your mother ended up going to, correct?
Right, right. After I wrote the first book, I started to find out more about the place where she was born, because we had letters from them that they had sent to my grandparents when they adopted my mom. But we really didn't know what it was. I guess I sort of assumed it was just a house where some people took in some girls who were in trouble. But the more I found out, it was actually a facility. And again, it was called the Willows Maternity Sanitarium. And it started in 1905. And one family owned and operated it the entire time that it was in operation until 1969. And in researching, I just started to find more and more information out about it. But what really was interesting was I found very few people who knew anything about it. And so I just kept doing more digging and found out more about it. And then I found out that Kansas City was actually called the adoption hub of America in the early 1900s. And a lot of that was due to the fact that there were a lot of girls, over 100,000 girls, they said, that were pregnant and in this situation of not being married, that came to Kansas City to different facilities similar to the Willows. And part of the reason was because Missouri had laws that made it very difficult to track the babies that were adopted and also for the babies to even find the original birth certificates. They couldn't even get those. And also because of the train system, all of them coming to the Union Station. So there were 7 or 8 facilities all located right around the Union Station.
And this was seemingly one of the major ones there, was it not?
It really was. And at one time, it could hold over 100 girls at a time. And they had over 35,000 girls that went through there from 1905 to 1969. And it was interesting. They were very open about it was expensive to stay there. They didn't make any bones about it. And they said that they took in the best kind of girls, and they adopted the highest quality babies from there. It was very interesting, the advertisement that they did. But it was actually known as the Ritz or the Waldorf of the facilities.
Wow, how about that?
Right.
Does your mom remember any of the situation? Did you get a lot of this from her? Did you have to dig elsewhere?
No, in fact, my mother really didn't know any of this information other than what my grandmother told her after we found her. And she didn't really want to talk about it too much, about that part of it. And it was a big secret for her. She had never really told anybody that she'd even had a baby. She was only 17 when she had my mother. And so we didn't really delve in too much about the Willows or learn much about it, other than she told us that the people were really nice to her, who helped her during a really difficult time in her life. So that's really all we knew, and my mother really didn't know anything about it. We actually went to Kansas City, where the facility was at 2929 Main Street, close to the Union Station, and it was gone. It had been torn down shortly after it closed in 1969. And so even the facility had been turned into a Residence Inn hotel.
And but over time, you managed to, you said your grandmother wasn't able to tell you a lot about it, but you were able to learn quite a bit about it through maybe other folks' stories.
Right. After I wrote the first book, I started having people contact me who were either born there or even some who had had babies there and had had reunions with their families like we did. And I actually met a person who was the grandchild of the people who originally started it. And her name is Carol, and she's given me a great deal of information about the Willows, photos and things that I've included in the book. And it's through just other people that have given me some great leads. And I did a lot of research through the public library in Kansas City. They have a big file on it. But it was interesting. Very few people actually have even heard about this facility if they didn't have some connection to it.
Yeah, I can imagine so. And throughout your studies, you said you weren't looking to write a book. You're kind of just looking for a little bit of history. But as things went on, you kind of created what we referred to in my college as an oral history.
Right.
And what has been sort of the impact you've heard? I mean, you got reached out to by a number of folks who had similar situations. But what's sort of the impact you've seen that it's had on folks who maybe are reading?
It's been really fun, and it's been incredible for me, just the connections that I've made with people. This book's only been out now a few weeks, and I've been getting contacts from people. There's an actual Facebook page that's a group for the Willows people who were either born there or had babies there, and they've been reaching out trying to make connections. And so I've been hearing a lot from those people, and they've been buying the book and telling me stories. And one story that particularly was really touching was a woman, I believe she was from Tennessee, but she'd written, and she was a granddaughter of a man who was born there in 1920. And he was 91 years old, I believe, she said, and said that he had never really known anything about the Willows. He'd tried to find birth parents, but never had any luck. And said that she went to him and told him that she had found this book and she was going to get it for him. And so she took it to him, and she said he was so excited and he just started to cry as he started to learn more about the place where he was born. So, you know, I've had some stories like that that have come in, and they've been from all over the country. And I'm real excited because one of the ladies who shared her story in the book, she was born there, and when she was 13, her parents took her back to visit the facility. She wanted to know where it was that she had been born. But she has shared with me recently that she had a 16-millimeter film of her dad had taken of him and his wife when they had gone to the Willows. I think, believe it was 1944, 1949, one of those years in the 40s. And she gave me a copy of the 16-millimeter film. And so I'm getting it transferred over into DVD so that I can actually see it. So I'm excited to see what the place looked like in the 40s. So lots of fun stories.
And what have your feelings and reactions been? You know, being able to find all this out is kind of a big part of your family history. And maybe it was a little bit of a hidden part in the past. But what have your thoughts been as you've been uncovering all of this information?
It's just been amazing. It's been actually kind of an interesting situation in that it's kind of brought some closure for our family, knowing more. Of course, we found our grandmother and found out about my mother's birth father. He had already passed away. But a lot of closure for my mom. And for me in writing the books, it's just been real enlightening to learn there's so many people out there who are still searching for their identity, you know, the who and the what behind why they were given up for adoption. And there's just a huge group of people that have that question. And one of the things I write about in the book is that, you know, some people want to know and some people don't. They're just happy with the family that raised them. And I had wonderful grandparents, and my mother loved them dearly. And she had one adopted brother and three natural-born children that were her sisters and brother. But my mother always wanted to know. My uncle, who was adopted, had no desire whatsoever to know anything about who his birth parents were. So I say in the book, you know, you never know what you're going to find. You have to be very open-minded and cautious when you're searching for your birth parents. You never know what, how they may react. They may be interested. They may not. So it's been fun to learn other people's reactions and how they have come across the situation that they're dealing with.
And what are you hoping readers take away from this? I mean, you've already had a bit of a reaction from folks maybe more directly impacted, but maybe, well, in addition to them, what are you hoping readers take away?
Really, I just want them to know about the facility. I really want them to know that not all adoptions and the reason behind people being adopted are all different. Just like with my grandmother, she would love to have kept my mom, but she knew that it was probably not the best thing that she needed to give her up. And that it's okay to search and to have those questions. I kind of feel like that's an important part of the book, that it's all right if you want to know. And people should be allowed to be able to search and find the answers that they're looking for. So that's a big part of it. And I just think it's important also for the people who have shared their stories with me so far have all told me that it's meant a great deal to them to actually express their stories. And one lady whose story is incredible that I found that's in the book, it took her about 6 months to get back to me about editing and giving me any changes she wanted to put in the book. And so when I contacted her, say, you know, are you doing okay? And she said, yeah, I just have to tell you, I've told my story 1,000 times, but to see it in writing has just really touched me. She says, I can't get through it without crying. And she said, so eventually she got through it and she gave me all of her edits, and it's a beautiful story. I think that's been one of the good things. And I've had probably 8 or 9 people already contact me, ask me if I was going to write another book. They'd like to share their stories.
And I understand you have a book signing coming up as well.
Right. My book's now, they're selling it at Claflin Books at 103 Northwest Street. And I'm going to do a book signing on December the 1st. It's a Saturday from 11 to 1.
All right.
Yep.
So thanks for coming in.
Great. Thank you, Nick.